Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk, where we talk about the CW's hit show, Supergirl. I'm Tim, and with me sometimes is my co-host for the week, Palmer.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, I'm on everybody, am I? Oh, you're talking to them.
I'm talking to them. Yes,
the
listeners. I already said hi to you.
To which I many times have we said hi to each other in the many courses of these hours hanging out with one another. Frank is not here this week. He had an unexpected engagement that he had to attend. And so Palmer was gracious enough to step in. Frank will be back for our crossover Invasion Heroes versus Aliens crossover podcast event. But for tonight, for this afternoon, this morning.
Stuck with me.
You are stuck with Palmer. You're going to like something I say later. You will enjoy it.
You would think that.
Yes, well, you're like a lot of the things I'm about to say. For instance, let's open up the mailbag. Let's start right here. I have an email from Zano. Zano says, "Why do they keep trying to cram in so many stories into one episode? The episode was all over the place, jumping from one plot to another. They have 22. They have a 22 episode season, so it's not like they don't have time to space things out." This is for The Darkest Place, by the way.
So this was last week's episode?
Darkest Place was at a time previously. Yeah, it was last week.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I do believe that there's some merit there. That episode was very compact with a bunch of different storylines that all seem to take away from an episode.
Hmm. Yeah, well, this is going to go on with some thoughts, so unpack your thoughts with this email. The Guardian story doesn't fit the show. There are times the show looks more like Arrow than Supergirl. I used to love James, but now he has an ego. Oh, look how awesome I am. I'm a hero. I think James always kind of had an ego. I think there's a bit of him that's just part of his character on this show. And maybe it's coming to the forefront, you know, because he's, you know. But, I mean, it's new and exciting. Everybody has an ego about something when it's new and exciting and they discover that they're good at it.
Yes, although this is going to kind of sound weird to say. Like, it seems like James doesn't know his place in the show. He's a sidekick. He's a secondary character.
But that's what the whole point of him putting on the costume is. He wants to be the hero of his own story. He's always been the sidekick, and this is him finally to himself claiming, like, of his own personal story, not of Kara's story, not even of the show's story, just of his own personal story. He needs to be his own hero.
I agree. However, doesn't really, to me, it doesn't fit the show. I kind of agree. I haven't been big on the Guardian storyline.
Okay. We have more coming that you may or may not disagree with. Wynn and Alex continue to have such fun scenes, and I hope they interact more. As we saw in this episode, they had some great interaction. Zano is not up on the Mon-El Kara romance. They work better as platonic friends. Well, this episode, you are not going to like. We need a Maggie episode to learn more about her. I got the impression that she's maybe hiding something, and that's why she's so reluctant to be with Alex. But seriously, less Guardian, more Maggie. I think we got a lot less Guardian and more Maggie this episode. I don't know if she's...
Well, we definitely got less Guardian.
Yeah. There's more Maggie. There's more Maggie.
Yeah.
This particular episode.
Obviously,
now there's more to come.
Yeah. I promise you that I did not write this email under a different name.
You know, I'm not going to believe you.
Because this sounds like I wrote this email.
I'm not going to believe you. Alex continues to be everyone's big sister, and I love it. Someone has to keep those kids in check. Though really did not like Alex keeping the Guardian's identity secret from Kara. I don't think it's Alex's place to say that secret, even though it is Alex's. It's Alex's place to say secrets out loud, hoping nobody was listening when she talks about them. But it is not her place to directly tell Kara about the Guardian.
Right.
That's James and Wynn's job.
Yes, although I would agree that it's not her place to tell her. Also, if I remember correctly, Kara didn't really come out and ask her if she knew. I think it would be different if Alex lied to her about knowing, but her just not running over to Kara and saying, hey, guess what? I have the secret, you know, that's for... Her secret keeping is only for the people who walk by them in the DEO.
That's right. For our purposes to mock her. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So she's really more of a... She's less of a Peter Pettigrew and more of a Sirius Black kind of secret keeper.
Yeah.
There you go. But not... Yeah, that's for all you Harry Potter fans out there. Okay, including myself. So, obviously, because I made that joke. So, we have an email from Lyndon. It says, guys, you know the Supergirl scripts must list the alien bar as the Cantina. I think of Star Wars every time they cut to that interior, and you guys mentioned the Mos Eisley Cantina music the first time the show took us there. It's the Cantina. This is excellent. I did not think of this before. I mean, we thought of the music, but calling it that is pretty great. Lyndon goes on to say, it would be pretty cool if they named it the Eisley or something right now, but right now it's the Cantina. I think Frank would be a fan of Club Obi-Wan. Personally,
probably. It's weird because I've never taken up that vibe. In my mind, every geekdom in my mind is so fractured that one doesn't ever bleed into the other.
Oh, interesting. So when you were playing with toys as a kid, Batman was not allowed to play with Spider-Man because they were in two different universes.
Correct.
Okay. I was similar, but I like fun references like that. I think that would be.
Oh, it would be a nice touch.
I think that would be a fun little thing. But the idea we were saying that like we sang the music because it's, you know, a bar filled with aliens from all over the galaxy is Mos Eisley Cantina,
right? But it's also a hive of scum and villainy.
This is true. In which there was some scum and villainy in the bar, in the Cantina today. Right.
But not a lot.
Not all the time. That's right. A couple things about James as the Guardian. There's something about James becoming Guardian that makes me feel like they're going to either kill him off or send him away, possibly with the Legends of Tomorrow. Do you guys sense that? I do not. What do you think?
No, it doesn't feel like it would happen, although where you have a show called Legends of Tomorrow, which is just pulling everybody from different shows, it's always there. You could always have that argument when they seem to be spotlighting somebody.
We need a guy with a shield.
Yeah.
Get the Guardian from that other universe. Yeah. It's possible.
I mean, they could...
Because they're all there. They're all in Vancouver filming, yeah.
They could swing by and pick up Mon-El, too.
Yeah, right. That's true. It's very possible for that to be a thing, but I don't think they're going to kill off James Olsen. That feels like a big character to kill off, and that's not something that you take lightly.
Slide him to a different show, maybe, or give him more time on that show to let him do his Guardian thing.
Sure. Ever since I first saw James decked out in the gray armor, something has been nagging me. Why couldn't they have just named him Steel? As you know, in the comics, John Henry Irons was so inspired by Superman that when Doomsday killed him, Irons donned armor to continue fighting Superman's fight as the Man of Steel, and ultimately called Steel. In my opinion, James is following a similar arc. He's inspired by Superman and Supergirl, and likes Irons. And like Irons, he wants to make his life count for something. There's a bit more here with somehow it could all work out, and then you would have a nice bonus of Hank Henshaw and Cyborg Superman and Mon-El and Steel and all these characters from the 90s.
Then you'd just be missing the Eradicator.
Whew, possible. Still possible. Yeah. But that's, I like that. That's a good, it's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was even batted around the writer's room. Like, you know, here are the characters James could become.
Right.
Let's look at it. Because he is wearing, like, what it looks like wearing, a steel suit of armor that's all decked out with tech. And for those who don't know, the steel costume is basically an Iron Man costume with a giant Superman crest on it,
and he has a giant hammer.
Right,
Irons was a steel working man.
Yeah, it really hammers home that metaphor. it's not a metaphor. I used the wrong literary device for my joke. I'm mad at myself. Okay,
thank God you're not an English teacher.
Oh, I know those kids; they'd be screwed. And so I like all of that. That's fun. But you know what? He's the Guardian.
He is.
Okay. We have a message from Eden that says, I'm really glad to see Maggie Sawyer involved in the action sequences once again. That's how we were first introduced to her on the show. And that's what makes her character so badass in the comics, as well as being a gay lady. After Alex came out in the last couple of episodes, I was a bit scared that Maggie's character would become reduced to just being the love interest or the catalyst for Alex's character development, but I am glad to see that the writers of the show are doing her justice by giving her a greater purpose. This show keeps getting better and pleasantly surprising me every step of the way. I also can't help but wonder whether we will hear any mention of Kate Kane, Batwoman, Maggie's original love interest from the comics. Love your podcast. Eden Palmer, respond.
I mean, yeah, there's always that danger once two characters, you know, start dating that one is going to be marginalized over the other. This show has seemed to have a track record of not doing that to the characters.
Marginalizing characters?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, or giving them extended roles, even sometimes to the detriment, as I've already said, with Olsen.
Right.
But yeah, I'm all for seeing more of Maggie. I want to know more about her. You know, are they gonna keep the stuff from the comics? Are they not? Do we have a Batwoman reference? I would love a Batwoman reference. I'm huge. Yeah. Batwoman.
Batwoman reference. Well, you can open the doors to a Batwoman reference, and go with me on this. So Batwoman in comic lore is she's a military woman.
Yeah.
She's gay. She was involved with Maggie Sawyer for a long time. They were almost married in the comics. This is a big history for them. So she has a lot of gadgets, and she has inner demons, right? Yes. We know Gotham is a real place on this earth. Don't say anything. Gotham is a real place on this earth. And we know from last episode that Superman worked with a vigilante who had a lot of demons and gadgets.
Yep.
So how cool would that be if it was actually Batwoman?
Yeah,
that would be great.
You thought we were talking about
Batman,
guy.
But no. Guess what? It was Batwoman.
He's over on that other.
Yeah.
He's over on that other show.
I would love that one because that would be a big slap in the face to everyone who's like, "Just give me Batman. It's the only comics character I care about." What a bit like here's Batwoman.
Yep.
Yeah.
CW's drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Never Batman.
Never Batman. You can have Bat somebody.
You
but
can
never,
have everybody else.
You can have any character with a bat anywhere, but you cannot have Batman. I would love if it was Batwoman, though. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, even then, even without a Batwoman, I would love just Katie Kane showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to kind of throw a monkey wrench in the hole.
A bat wrench.
Mm-hmm. A bat-shaped monkey
wrench. I would love that, too. But I would like Alex and Maggie to kind of, like,
have smooth sailing
for a little while. Yeah. I always hate when relationships on shows are all turmoil and never smooth sailing. Like, why are you guys together if it's all chaos?
Drama.
Yeah, exactly. It's no good.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another email here from Michelle. It's a little long, so I'm going to skim as best I can to get the point. Hey guys, I'm a new listener and I love the podcast. I'm looking forward to your coverage of the 4-part crossover. Oh, well, stay tuned. Someone mentioned in letters that the presence of James as a hero is somehow sexist or taking away from Supergirl, and you guys discussed that a bit. I wanted to kind of chime in on that. I think that it's a completely ridiculous idea, and I think people only have a problem with it because he's her former, or possibly future, love interest. The entire first season was focused on Kara, her development, her emergence as a hero, her everything. She is the, quote, alpha of the show, so to speak. The end of season one brings Martian Manhunter into the picture as her sometimes sidekick. He's a man, no complaints there. Season two comes out of the gate, with two episodes heavily featuring Superman. Clark was an excellent bonus that didn't take away anything from Kara. If anything, he enhanced her showcasing that she's just as powerful as he is. So I think the show has established quite effectively that she is to be all, end all. She is the be all, end all. James suddenly donning a suit doesn't encroach on her in any way. If anything, it adds to the team that constantly is building and growing. when Arsenal joins Arrow. Did that take away from Arrow? No, of course not. Neither did Black Canary, Speedy, or any of the new folks. Jesse Quick and Kid Flash didn't take away from Barry as the Flash. James didn't take away from Kara, and I think as this story progresses and we see him eventually join her, he'll serve as backup the way Team Arrow does with Oliver and Team Flash does for Barry. Not that she needs it, but sometimes it's showcased in an episode. As showcased in episode 1 and 2 this season, you need some backup. I think people have a problem with James because he is an almost boyfriend, and so they're looking at it from a traditional male-female role, and that's silly. He's not her better in this hero setting, and it isn't meant to be. It's clear that Kara is the alpha not only on the show, but in the dynamic of their team.
Okay. So before
I said I was going to skim that, but it was really well written. So
it's probably one of the best that I've heard. Two things, you know, really, really well written. Great job. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're a new listener. I try every week to spread some joy through this podcast.
Every week you do.
Yeah.
Every week you are spreading joy.
Yep.
Somewhere in the world.
So as far as James not taking away from Kara, you make extremely good points citing evidence from other shows of how the characters didn't take away there. My only caveat, like I said before, it feels like this one, he's taking a little bit more center stage than the other ones. Like, he's off on his own doing something else, whereas Jesse Quick doesn't do that. Like, when she's with the Flash, or when she's on the Flash, she's with the Flash. She's not off doing the superhero stuff on her own. So mm-hmm. I think that's mainly the difference right now.
That's true. That is an excellent point. But when it comes down to it, all these shows they're called Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, but they all have teams. The only one that really acknowledges that it's a team is Legends of Tomorrow. But nobody distracts from one another. They all stand on their own merits, really. Yeah. And so the namesake of the show is still.
It's still Supergirl.
It's the alpha of their show, and I agree, she is the alpha of the show.
And maybe once they've established James as a superhero, you know, probably the end of the season, maybe into next season if they continue with Guardian, you know, maybe it's more of a team-up than James going out and doing it on his own.
Yeah.
Which is what it feels like right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very good. I agree with all that. Also, just briefly, thoughts on Monel as a love interest, yay or nay. Brings me to Monel as the Prince of Daxum. She 100% agrees in why this is important. Correct me if I'm wrong. She says the House of El is a revered House of Krypton, right? I don't know their political system. Do they have an aristocracy, or is this a democracy? But if you say House of El is like the Kennedys of Krypton, then it would present the idea that the Prince of Daxum would be Kara's equal in terms of legacy and such. Also, this is a completely soap opera thought of process, so forgive me. Mon-El mentions being promised to somebody, arranged marriages. What if Kara and Mon-El were promised as babies in some attempt to create peace, but things went awry and it never came to fruition? Okay.
I really like that idea.
I do too, except that the House of El is revered, but not because not politically. We actually heard a bit of it on tonight's episode. They talked about the science guilds and the military guilds, and so everybody's basically you're in a guild somewhere on the planet based on your attributes and stuff like that.
So oddly enough, and I'm sure I'm going to hear some blowback on this at some point. If you're not that into the comics, I could equate this in a little bit better term, Divergent. Divergent has...
It's a class system.
Is a class system. You're separated into these classes based on a test, you know, an attribute test. Whereas I think in Superman lore, you're just kind of born into it.
You're
kind of naturally assumed
to be there. Sometimes it depends. Sometimes you take a test. Yeah, it depends on the lore. Yeah, it's not unlike Hunger Games and Districts. Sometimes kind of work in the same way. That's where you're born, so it's a little different. But
when in doubt, just find out how John Byrne wrote it, and let's go with that.
Yeah. But so I like the idea that maybe they're promised to one another, but her family. Though the House of El is revered, it's like the jobs are revered, like the gates or you know the the House of Mosk, right. You know, like whatever. It's like that.
Well, I think on Krypton it's a little different. They have more legacy, I believe.
Sure, right, but so in that way, it's like the Kennedys.
Yeah,
there's legacy. Yeah,
the Kennedy legacy is appropriate to an extent.
Yeah. So, but I like that. Who knows what happens? Yeah. We saw something in the episode tonight that clearly is going to tie into some of that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. And I have one last thing here from Dakota. Says, "Hey guys, love the show, but notice this about David Harewood. Basically, he's Supergirl's version of Tom Cavanaugh, aka the Harrison Wells from The Flash, because he is the one actor playing many different roles, but also doing a great job as well." Good observation. It's a little different because, you know, he's playing.
Because you don't have a cabinet. You don't have a Wells of the season.
Yeah, right. It's the same every season. Yeah. Maybe, but he is playing multiple parts and he's the same actor. Yeah. So good, and he is doing a great job at it. I agree.
He is. I would hold on to that and then see if come season three if they add a third character for him.
Possibly. Let's take that. So before we move on to the episode, though, we're going to take time to talk about one of our sponsors, and that is Supergirl.tv. This is a site by fans for fans. You know it. You love it. I love it. Palmer loves it. Frank loves it. Everyone loves it. And so they are, it's a place where you can find out stuff about the characters and the cast and photos and videos and spoilers and music. You can talk to the community. You can look at recaps and you can look at videos and there's all this stuff. It's a beautifully, beautifully made website. Right now they've got a super cool combined logo of Supergirl, Arrow, and The Flash up on there in honor of the crossover. It's very cool looking. At least head over there to check out the very cool looking logo. It gives you a countdown to the next time Kara takes flight. What's the name of the next episode? When it airs? There's so much good stuff here. You can hardly look away. It's so good. And so check them out, Supergirl.tv, for all your Supergirl news. All right, are you ready to talk about an episode?
I am.
Particularly this episode.
Oh, good.
Supergirl Season 2, Episode 8, titled Medusa, premiering on November 28th, 2016, directed by Stefan Plaszynski. We start, it's Thanksgiving.
Yay!
You know it, I know it. Everyone loves Thanksgiving, except people who are maybe not in love with Thanksgiving. For instance, people who don't live in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, like our brethren in Australia. Who's to say? That was the first place I thought.
That was just automatically, whenever you think of a set.
Whenever I think of brethren, it's Australia. Australia. Yeah, yeah, it's Australia. Okay. Kara is cooking the turkey on...
Literally
cooking the turkey with her eyes. Would you... I would assume that...
That it's safe to eat.
It's safe to eat. I mean, you know, but I mean, like... Who did that test? And when? How long before they were like, maybe we should test this? Assume Jeremiah tested it.
No,
or
no,
Eliza.
Easy enough. I can give you that answer.
Yep.
Alex and Kara for a midnight snack. They were like, we don't want to wake up mom and dad.
Oh, so true.
You know, so they snuck down, not even thinking about it, did it. And then she started doing it one day at family dinner. And they're like, what are you doing? Oh, Alex hasn't died yet.
Very good. I like that. I like that very much. Alex, Wynn, and James debate telling Kara about the Guardian. Mm-hmm. I think Alex wins that debate. Because she asserted her dominance by taking Wynn's beer.
Yes, she just straight up stole it.
Yeah, didn't even sit down. They're my favorite relationship on this show. Yeah. Like, Maggie and Alex might be my favorite relationship, but
they're friendship, my favorite platonic relationship.
It's definitely Alex and Wynn. I love it.
And she's so sly about it. She's just walking by and she's like, what are we talking about? As she grabs the beer and starts
drinking. I had to rewind
it.
You were like, she just stole her beer. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even see that. Yep. I was writing stuff because I got to take notes. But, you know, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. She calls what they're doing vigilante hijinks.
Yes.
Which makes it sound like, look, guys, I know you think you're doing a great job and stuff, but honestly, you're pretty terrible at it.
Right. Who faced down the threat last season with the superpowered people?
Right. Oh, me. Who got to wear a giant Kryptonian... Who wore a giant Kryptonian battle armor? Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It was me. I did.
I did it all on my own with the help of my sister, maybe.
Yeah, right. Me. Not so-and-so, not anybody else. Me. I'm so important.
Alex, now roll the credits to my show.
Yeah, that's right. Danvers. Yeah. All right. Alex wants to be the news bearer at Thanksgiving. She is the one that's...
She's got... And to be fair, she's got the more important news.
Arguably, yes. And also, it's her family that they're like, Wynn and James are like, we will come to you for Thanksgiving. But, like, you're crashing the Danvers Thanksgiving, also even though you're invited. Yeah, right, but he doesn't have news to share, you know.
Doesn't he? No, he does.
All right, he does have news to share.
Everybody has news to share.
Yeah.
You know.
Everyone has news to share, and everybody has somebody to kiss by right. the end of this episode, except James and Wynn.
They might have kissed each other.
That would have been a surprise.
That would have been out of left field.
Yeah, I would not have expected that. So, Mon-El has flowers, and he gives them to Eliza, being a little smooth talker.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he gave Kara the stuffing.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little...
No, I loved it. I loved how heavy-handed it was. It was like an obvious joke, but I didn't even care. I thought it was great.
I would call it heavy-handed. It had an X with an anvil hanging over it.
No, I loved it. I thought it was great. I love his, I don't know how things work on this world yet. But sometimes he'll say things and I'm like, so you don't know what stuffing is, but you know what heaven is. Or so, you know what I mean? He's so like, is this heaven?
Are you just saying this because you feel like you got cheated out of that last season with Kara?
No, because she grew up on the planet, so she should definitely know what stuff is. She had 13 years before we were introduced to her on the planet, so I don't feel cheated by that at all.
Being a comic book person, knowing that Kara comes here pretty much grown up and then has to adapt.
No, I did not feel cheated by that. No, that's...
Because I wouldn't say I got cheated by it, because I don't think I did, but I think the writers feel like they got cheated by it. We could have used so many of these jokes last season.
That's true. It kind of reminds me of Ichabod Crane on Sleepy Hollow when that was on Fox, where, you know, like, she, like, buys jugs of, you know, his partner buys jugs of water, and mm-hmm. he's like, you pay for water.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
I will say, I didn't like it as much as you did. I liked it, but...
You talk about this joke or Sleepy Hollow?
The joke. Okay. We all know I don't like Sleepy Hollow.
I know.
But there's got to be a very finite line. Like, this can't go on that long. Because
sure.
Just...
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Because the joke will wear thin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's only been 2 months. You know what I mean? And arguably, maybe stuffing is not the thing that you'd be like, okay, I've got to give Mon-El a list of things to get through a Earth culture. Get a stuffing on there.
Well, that was number two.
Yeah, no, so it's fine. But he also plays it up because he knows it's cute at the same time, because he immediately is like, oh, Mrs. Danvers, I hear you're Eliza. You know, I hear you're a scientist. Yeah. Tell me, what is this science? You know what I mean? Like,
you kind of start thinking that he knows exactly what he's doing. Like, ha, I don't know Earth customs.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. He plays it up. He's smart. Like, yeah. he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's like, hi, I'm trying to be better. Can I help you? Yeah. You know, like, he knows how he's presenting himself because he's a prince and he's taught how to present himself.
You're latching on to this prince thing.
I don't think it's latching. I think it's obvious.
I think you missed the cyborg Superman once, and now you're going to... This is your next
look. Month. All I'm saying is
you were wrong. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to say it.
I'm glad even that I got through you. Half a page to before you told me I was wrong. Good, thank you. I like that whole. I like when Eliza is telling Kara that Mon-El obviously has feelings for her. You know, like Lou. Yeah. But the best part of that scene was Alex stealing the bourbon from the freezer. Because Kara is like, nope, that beer is going in the freezer.
She took the beer, put it in the freezer for some reason.
Because...
Like, that was an impenetrable fortress.
Because her justice would freeze beer, and she was testing the theory.
Wow.
That was a deep cut crucible joke.
Yeah, that was.
Yep.
I was going to start looking down to see if I was wearing my crucible
shirt.
You're not. And I loved that scene. Like, we had to rewind it because, again, you were focusing on what they were talking. And I was like, Alex just stole the whiskey.
Yeah. I know. I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I know. I'm watching the conversation that I think is important, but in the back, Alex is doing delightful things.
Yeah, Alex is stealing the scene. She was like, they didn't give me anything to say here.
So good. No, I love it. I love visual gags like that. And I don't think the show actually has a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, it was really fun to watch something like that. Yeah. And it didn't feel out of place. It felt organic. Like everyone, it was Thanksgiving and everyone's having a great time.
Right. And Alex is just flowing. And it kind of ties in with her taking the beer. Like she's just flowing from one end to the other.
Exactly. Yep. She's flowing from one alcoholic beverage to the other one. I liked everyone's there all around the dinner table. And I was like, here's the things that I'm thankful for. Kara, I'm thankful for how beautiful you are and how I can see you every day. And I'm also thankful for how gracious you are. It was like thankful subtexting. Like thankful subtweeting of Kara, you know, like a lot of subtext.
Right.
Yeah.
The one thing, and it took me until just now to realize that the one thing I found odd in that scene where Kara stands up, she's like, it's a Danvers family tradition to go around and say what we're thankful for. Even though Wynn and Jimmy kind of state
that, James Jimmy.
That this kind of state that they were at family dinner last year for Thanksgiving.
They were.
So it was like, I'm going to tell you the stuff that you already know.
Mon-El is newbie.
But Mon-El is there. Yeah. And that's why I said I caught that. Yeah. Like,
Mon-El
as I
is a newbie. So during all that, we get our first look at the dimensional rift that turns out to be Barry and Sisko coming in from that. I think people
now
watched
just,
it.
Now they're just going to shut off the podcast.
Look, I said this to you while we were watching the episode, and I stand by it. If I didn't watch this show,
right,
and
then you're wrong.
If I didn't watch this show, and I saw that it's a 4-night crossover starting on Supergirl, and I turned in and watched this episode, I would have been A, confused, and then B, mad.
Yeah.
Like,
I know what you're saying, and I kind of agree. And this kind of ties into, you know, this kind of goes into, like, I have to sometimes remember that I'm a fan, and while I don't want to know spoilers, I want to know as much about the show as I'm watching as possible. So I knew that this was the least crossover-y crossover episode ever.
Yeah.
Going into it.
I knew that, too.
But I think normal people might not have, and so I agree with your point on that.
Right. Well, it's like, we were talking about this, like, people don't know whether Star Wars Rogue One is episode 8 or if it's something different.
Yeah.
If you're not entrenched in the world, sometimes something that would be very obvious
is
not, which is fine.
Exactly.
And so, like, I would have been, like, I sat through all of this to watch Barry and Sisko show up at the end.
Right.
You know? Which I knew back in, like, August or whatever, that's what was going to happen. Yep. Supergirl was the prologue episode. But it wasn't promoted that way.
I don't know if I knew it back in August. I knew about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think you might have been the one to kind of clue me in on it. Mm. But initially, I thought it would be more of a crossover. I knew it was going to start in Supergirl. I figured you would at least get a portion of it.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's kind of like, hey, come over to my show because we're going to show you what's going on.
Yeah, right. So you essentially could start on Tuesday night with The Flash.
Yeah.
And be fine. She's like, she's a pro. But when they announced the prologue, when they announced the crossover, they said Supergirl is going to be a prologue.
Yeah.
And people who knew that went, it's fine. That's, you know, cool.
So, but, I know what you're saying. Odds quickly. So tomorrow night on Flash, when it starts, do they show that scene in its entirety?
I think previously on this crossover. Just 5 seconds.
Yeah, because that's what the scene was. So
yeah. If anything, they might show
them trying to get through the rift.
No, I was gonna I was gonna say they might show Flash and Supergirl teaming up on season one, just to kind of be like, hey, remember they know each other from that other show that was on another channel.
Although, you know what? That scene, I think, takes place midway through the Flash episode.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. Yeah, that's I think we're going to get
it. It's not like they see a ship fly over and be like, I should go get Supergirl.
Mm, good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. All right, so Kara is like, I'll detective Lena. You know, I will figure it out.
Don't call me the world's greatest detective for nothing.
And they're like, Kara, we don't call you that. She's like, oh, but don't you? No, we don't.
Never once.
No, you are not. Yeah, sure, you're smooth. And he's like, I'm totally going to bug her anyway. And she's like, yeah, you better. Yeah. All right, so We learn that Lena does not have a good relationship with her mother, Dr. Lily and Cadmus, Luther. Which is good. You know, it's fine. We knew that. I think we kind of knew that already. But after Kara stops sniffing around, she immediately calls, presumably, her mother.
Right.
And is like, hey, you should come over and stuff.
Yeah.
Come see me.
Because I need to talk to you.
Yeah. Mon-El is hit at the cantina, which I will now start calling the cantina because it was a good suggestion. Mon-El is hit on at the cantina, but he is waiting for somebody else. I wonder who that person could be. Probably those aliens we saw in space. No, I'm just kidding. It's Kara. It's
the White Martian.
It's definitely Kara. Oh, yeah. Magan was not in this episode.
Magan was not.
No, I miss her. From that one episode. That one episode, wasn't it? Yeah. And so we see Cyborg Superman place some kind of device underneath the barn, start walking away, and Mon-El goes after him. To that I say, why do devices that are going to set off beep?
Have you ever made a device for a nefarious purpose?
No.
You can either have them do really bad things or have them be silent. It's impossible to do both.
So they can either do something or just be silent. So they can either be ineffective or noisily effective.
Right.
That's a tricky line, and apparently beeping doesn't people. I guess like in the age of tech, like in the age of cell phones, whatever else, you hear people. People don't like. Oh no, a beeping! This must be something terrible.
People are so used to pagers going off.
You know, so many pagers have gone off in my life in the past. So many pages. They're coming back.
Oh, doctors still wear them?
Technology is cyclical. Yeah.
No, it's not. Not even the slightest.
Yeah. we catch Cyborg Superman. He is wearing his Phantom Mask, which I will continue to refer to as the Phantom Mask.
I thought you were going to say Menace for some reason. I'm like, no.
He is a Menace.
He is.
But he's not a Phantom.
He's a Phantom Mask wearing Menace.
Menace. There you go. So there's an airborne virus that kills a lot of the aliens in the bar. Alien terrorist attack, if you will. Mon-El is put into quarantine because they're not sure if he's doing okay or not. But according to Mon-El, he can do 1,000 push-ups, one hand. Well, that's... And as impressive as that is, Mon-El, we're going to need you to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, I
thank you for humble bragging that you're okay. We're going to need you to stay here anyway.
I mean, it's not that impressive. I can do 2,000.
Yeah. Oh, my God, my arm is so tired. Yeah. I didn't know if you heard me. I did over 1,000. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, the deep burn. Yeah. Anyway. All the aliens at the DEO, meaning also Kara and Jean, are quarantined just in case. You never know. They put themselves in a quarantine. Like, they have to stay at the DEO.
Okay, yeah. I missed that part.
Yeah, they have to stay there. But Jean is like, well, I'm pretty sure I sleep here. So.
And that would explain the subsequent scene of them playing Monopoly.
Yes, exactly.
Because I'm like, why would anyone play Monopoly?
Right. Oh, I love Monopoly. We'll talk about that at the Monopoly scene. We'll get there. So, Eliza is brought in to do work at the DEO because she's an expert in astrobiology. But, just throwing it out there, what are all those people at the DEO doing if none of them are also, astrobiologists?
Their job is to just walk around in the background and finding out secrets that Alex is saying.
No.
They don't ever...
But they're also terribly bad at that. Well, like, they're really... No, they just
don't let you know they know.
Ah, but we know that they know that we know. Yeah. Right, okay.
Typical government kind of bureaucracy. You have 5 people doing something, 30 other people standing around.
It's just utter, nonsense.
Construction work.
I mean, I like that Eliza was in the whole episode. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, give me more Helen Slater.
Yeah, right. She is an integral part to this episode. She is important, and I appreciate that and all of that. But there are people in that building. You're paying them for reasons.
None of them have a doctorate.
No, none of them. Not one. So we discover in conversation with the Luthers that Lillian loved Lex more than Lena, but there's a reason for that. But Luther Sr., I'm going to call Lionel.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with Lionel. Lionel Luther loved Lena more.
We find out why she loves Lex more, though. Because Lena's adopted.
Is that her actual reason?
Well, it's not the typical reason, but I think you would have... She's like, hey, it's a lie when parents say, we love you both the same. And it's true. Like, I love members of my family more than I love other members of my family.
But you're not a parent saying that you love your one child more than the other one.
No, but I could imagine that I would love one child over the other.
Well, my parents love all of us equally.
They all love your sister more.
But that is maybe true. She is a delightful human being.
I'm not saying, like, she dislikes her because she's adopted, because obviously they cared enough for her.
You talking about my sister, or are you talking about Lena now?
We're not gonna discuss your sister, because that should be a conversation between you and your parents.
Gotcha.
Lena is adopted. So I could see, like, you know, this person that grew inside me for months on end.
Yeah, it's mummy's little boy.
Right. And daddy's thing. Little girl.
But, I mean, but from what it sounds like, Lillian sees Lena as, like, self-righteous, like, yo, you're going to lecture me like you lectured Lex, or, you know, like, stuff like that. So it's like, you never agree with my worldview, so that's why I hate you.
That seems to be a Luther thing. Like, if you disagree with me, you're lecturing, because Lena does the same thing.
Oh, yeah, that is...
Like, five minutes later.
That is totally, totally a Luther thing. You're absolutely right. Like, mother like daughter.
Yeah.
So, Monopoly is being played by Mon-El and Supergirl. So, right. We got to the Mono thing. So, how do you not like Monopoly?
Well, I mean, it's just time-consuming.
Yeah.
Like, you play for, like, a couple hours, and then, like, you have to keep the board intact, put a glass over it, and come back, like, 3 weeks later.
I have done that. I have had a 3-day game of Monopoly played on vacation once. Well, because you're not supposed to make deals with people, and that's what extends the game out. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know what? I don't want you to be out of the game, so you can come on for free this time and the next subsequent 10 times.
A two-player game of Monopoly goes a little bit quicker.
A two-player game of anything goes faster.
Yeah. But I'm so glad we're at the scene, because I have conflicting thoughts about this scene.
Do you like the scene, or do you like the scene?
I only kind of like the scene.
Why? So just the one like.
Yeah. So, I understand, like, this is the scene where they're like, hey, let's talk about our feelings. And it's the very CW-ish scene, which is fine. And I get that we're going to have these kind of scenes in any show, not just the CW show.
Right.
My confliction is, I don't like her having this conversation in the suit.
Why?
It's weird. Like, suit's on, you're saving the world, like, that's your focus.
Okay.
Don't. You know, it takes away from her gravitas if she kind of slips into, like, the rom-com Kara.
Okay, I can understand that, but I personally like it when the suit is worn for regular human conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the scenes where she, like, comes home and flops down on the couch to talk to Alex, and she's still wearing the uniform.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very uneven situation in my mind. Like, I like those scenes, and I just, for some reason, the scene comes off a little like, hey, so do you like me? And I don't want to see that in the suit.
If
Clark was doing that to Lois... It would be the same thing. Like, hey, so do you like me?
But he does do that in the suit to Lois. We've seen that happen. I like pink very much, Lois. Come on.
That's just saying, hey, I can see things.
Yeah, I can see your underwear. Right. And yes, I like pink very much, Lois. That's exactly that conversation. This is from Superman 1977, the Richard Donner movie. For those of you who are unfamiliar.
But it seems much more of him... hitting on her, like, if she were like, I like pink very much, Mon-El, you know, it's just the way it comes across.
Yeah, I didn't read into that like that at all. Maybe that's because like, she wears the suit, you know, like, whether she's fighting somebody, whether she's upset, whether she's happy, whether she's partying, you know what I mean? So it's just like, and she's at the DEO,
This is me Kara is just what I say, just what I look like to protect you.
She's in her work. She's just at work. You know what I mean? And so I don't have a problem with it.
For some reason. But then again, you know, my feelings of Kon-El or Monara are clear. I'm not a fan.
I like Kon-El, actually.
It's like Kon-Air, but.
Yeah, that's what, yep. All right.
But then it's Superboy, so it doesn't work.
So. She asks him that question.
Yeah.
You know,
like, do you like me?
Yeah, but he doesn't really answer the question. He's well, look at all the women that throw themselves at me. You know,
to be fair, he didn't answer the question because he passed out from the virus.
Yeah, but he avoids answering it before he passes out.
Well, yeah.
He conveniently passes out. I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not feeling well.
He's not actually sick throughout the whole episode.
it's just avoiding it. Yep. That'd be great. That's where I asked the question, why doesn't anyone at the DEO are capable of looking at alien DNA?
Because then you see...
Because Eliza, she's doing some stuff. And they're like, oh my god, it's a Kryptonian virus. What do we do? How is that possible? She's like, my blood, that's how it is. Right. So she goes to the Fortress of Solitude. Here is my question. Why does nobody need the Dwarf Star Key to get into the Fortress of Solitude anymore?
In
the first season,
right.
Kara and James go to the Fortress of Solitude, and she picks up the Dwarf Star Key, uses it, and they may like, oh, he leaves his key on the front doorstep, and he's like, oh, well, it weighs like 1,000 megillita or what, you know what I mean? Like, Kara can get in, but how could Cyborg Superman get in last week? Because then he would have to be strong enough to lift that
key. He's a Kryptonian robot.
No, but he's not a Kryptonian robot.
We don't know that.
We know that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So that's just my, just
maybe a backup system in case the key ever gets stolen.
He punched through a wall.
DNA.
Possibly. He punched through a wall.
Yeah.
So Kellex attacks Supergirl because he's like, you know, there was an intruder. It was you. And then he attacks her and she kills Kellex. And it might have been as sad as when Shadow falls in that hole in Homeward Bound. And he's like, I'm not going to make it. You, Chance and Sassy, go on after me. Right. We came this whole trip, and now me, Shadow, this lovable dog, is going to die.
Right.
I was that level of sad.
He doesn't die, though, does he?
No, he doesn't.
No.
No.
You're saying that. I'm like, man, I don't remember him
dying. I don't remember Shadow dying. That's terrible. I'd do a children's movie.
But unfortunately, Kal-El does.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's like 50 other Kal-Els.
You say that. I don't think so. It's Kal-El, not Kal-El. What are you even doing on this show? What are you doing?
You guys were the ones that paid me to come on.
I paid you with the friendship.
Yep.
Yep.
It was sad. It reminded me of last season when people jumped off of
Kelly. Kelly. Yeah. Is that Kelly? Is that her name?
I don't think it was her name.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it began with K.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Person who was here for the first time and forever and never again.
I was on that week on the podcast.
You were on that week.
And I was so distraught.
Yep.
Go back and look at the tapes.
I will not.
So, I'm blinded by how much I miss Kelly. Is that her name? Yeah.
Kelly. Yeah.
Totally.
Poor Kelly.
My grief has blinded me to what her real name is.
I really hope they have a nice memorial for her somewhere in Cott Plaza.
No, they don't.
No.
They don't. Just the stain. That's her memorial. I will not look at the tapes. I like the Kryptonian machine that she uses. She's in a little computer screen, and she's like, oh my god, it's Dad. Dad hologram now.
And he's like, do you have a question? My first question would be, do you talk to Mom hologram?
Yeah. Do you and Mom hologram hang out?
Yeah.
If you don't, I can arrange that.
Why not? Don't you love me?
Yeah. Very good. My watch is telling me it's time for bed. That's not going to happen. All right. Okay. So she asks about Project Medusa, and he's like, oh, the science and military guilds got together.
Right.
And we were like, we created this weapon to protect Krypton from all other aliens just in case. And Kara is like, wow, you told me you were saving lives as a job. Thanks so much, Hologram Dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, well...
You're welcome.
I was saving Kryptonian lives. So, well, there you go.
Long story short, it was just in case of an invasion. I'm fine with that virus.
I think that, like, whether you bomb their ships, like, in case of an invasion, or you like, or there's a virus. Like, either way, you're killing them.
Right.
And so, because they're invading you, so, like,
but you're doing real it because they're invading.
Right. If they're not going to other planets to use that virus to take over.
Yeah.
Right. But it could be used that way. But arguably, like, the missiles or whatever you, the laser cannons you would use to destroy the invading ship would also be used to conquer a planet. So it's a fine line.
It's this show's nuclear bomb almost.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, but was it? Because it's a deterrent more than anything.
Right. But was the genie a nuclear bomb? Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the question you were asking. Eliza knows that Alex is hiding something. This was a very good scene in this episode.
It was awesome. Like, why are you lying to me?
Yeah, she's like, honey, secrets don't look good on you. You know, like, you don't have them very well.
Like, I've seen the show. You just talk about it to everybody within earshot.
Well, my favorite was like, is it about Maggie? You mentioned her a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, you've been around one day. And you picked up on that, and she didn't even mention her in the the part of the episode that we watched.
Like, oh, Maggie did the cutest thing today.
Oh, that's true. They probably
like
did
I tried
talk.
To
yeah.
let her win at pool, and she just couldn't.
Yeah, and Eli's sitting there like, "That's nice, sweetie. Why are you calling me to tell me about your day like that?"
Yeah, did anything else happen today?
You're a government agent. Don't you have better things to do than to call your mom and be like, "Mom, I played pool today." That's nice, sweetie.
But
thank you,
know you
for calling. I'm glad that we have this relationship as mother and child.
Yeah.
But
this is a step up because Alex could have before just been calling up like, here's the government secrets today.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. It's just front page of the paper. Government secrets. Yeah. And I like that this like coming out scene to Eliza. Like, Alex doesn't really say anything.
No, Eliza is. Eliza's like, this is
how it is. Yeah. It's fine. And you're like, why didn't you feel comfortable telling me? And she's like, I thought, like, I'd feel like you'd be disappointed in me. It's not a normal life. But I like, our lives are not normal.
Yeah.
You are an exceptional person, and you are only going to continue to be an exceptional person.
That was such an emotional scene. Like, I cried.
I did too.
I teared up.
I did too. And I was like, I'll write it in the book, but I won't make mention of it right now.
And yeah. Like, I hope this doesn't come out wrong.
Nope, it's gonna. Don't say it.
No. Like, the way Alex is reacting, like, to me felt very genuine and very real.
Why would you expect that to come out wrong?
Somebody, because I don't want it to make it sound like someone coming out just naturally feels like they should be ashamed.
Sure,
they shouldn't. But like the scene just felt so real.
Yeah.
And I give that a lot of credit to, you know, the writers and the acting.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so natural and so real that it was just a great, great scene.
Yep. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I think if you look at all the scenes together with like Alex's arc for this, this was definitely my favorite of all of them.
I still think I like the scene on the couch with Kara more.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it's up there. Like, she's had the best scenes this season.
Oh, yeah, hands down. So good. So, the most emotionally wrought scenes.
Yeah, it hasn't really overshadowed the story.
No, like, not at all. It's a very natural inclusion to the story.
So,
yeah.
Good on them for making it feel that way and not like, hey, we're going to do this.
Right, I agree. We get this scene back to back with another emotional scene in which Kara is talking to Jean, mm-hmm. and she is like, so I guess my parents were murderers or something, and I was like, that's an extreme, Kara.
Yeah.
You went in a very different direction than maybe you should have.
Well, no, it's a child becoming disillusioned with their parents.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, like, as it happens,
right.
You know, and for her, you know, like, her parents died when she was 13, so, like, she wasn't able to evolve with them.
Right.
You know, she wasn't able to, that relationship to evolve. So this is, like, smacking her in the face.
Yeah, this would always, like, Kara's reaction to this was always going to be this if she ever found out. It mm-hmm. didn't matter, like, how long she had her parents around, just because of who Kara is.
Sure.
Like, she's very, like, my ideals are very set in stone and very black and white. This is a little bit morally gray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
you know, Batman would be like, eh, I kind of see the point. Although yeah. I'm not big on the whole killing thing.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But, you know, the super family yeah. is like,
but Batman's no. like, but you know what? I created a murdering satellite, so who's to say what anybody's capable of? Well, it evolved
into a murdering satellite.
You know, it happens. So,
life finds a way.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Dr. Malcolm. So Jean tells her that, you know, she is her parents' legacy. You know, death and destruction is not their legacy.
And he's right.
And he's right, because they didn't use the virus.
Right.
So it's not their legacy, you know. But that's okay. At that time, where Jean's like, it's going to be okay.
It's not okay.
Also, I'm going to cough and my face is going to be horrifying.
Right.
Oh my God. I had forgotten, even though it was just last week, I'd forgotten that he was turning into a white Martian. I was like, right. Oh no, he's infected by the virus. Turns around. Oh my God.
It
was, yeah.
It almost reminded me of the, of when the mask comes off from Phantom. Like,
like
that scene.
Yeah.
Oh, and like,
yeah. It was so good. I loved what he looked like. I want a freeze frame of it to, like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
It looked great. And then immediately he's like, okay, so this is what's happening.
So, news.
Yeah.
I'm turning into a white Martian.
Right, right. But, like, Frank and I talked about this previously. We're like, we love how quickly this little story progressed because, like,
yeah.
in other shows, on other more stations, so or even, yeah, especially today, but it was like, it would just drag and drag and drag and drag. And then ultimately we know it would resolve itself okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that this was just like a little thing for him. It resolved neatly, a nice little bow. Everybody's yeah. good. And I liked that. Yeah.
I will touch on this more as at we get end. To the end of the episode because sure. I had some thoughts.
Sure. Okay. So Cyborg Superman Hank Henshaw goes to L Corp for this isotope that only L Corp has because they need it for the Medusa virus. Supergirl and Cyborg Superman fight. There's another dimensional rift that shows up, which distracts him long enough to be like, oh no, maybe I won't win this fight. I'll just shoot Maggie Sawyer with my cyborg vision.
Yeah.
And then escape. Also right. saving Lena Luthor's. Yeah. Supergirl saves Lena Luthor's life in the process. It was a good fight. I don't really.
It was yeah. good.
It was good.
You know, he didn't make Maggie's shoulder glow.
Okay, it was the reflection of the thing, but the way it looked, like it was like, it looked pretty electric and magical, and I'm just, it looked cool, just saying. Okay, so Supergirl shows up and tells Lena that Lillian is Dr. Lillian Cadmus Luthor, head of Cadmus.
Right.
And Lena's like, well, maybe I'm evil now, because it's you told true. Me this new.
It's impossible.
You know, and Kara's like, I could finish that, but I need to maintain some not nerdiness as Supergirl, so I'm right. just gonna lead the conversation.
But again, it's like, oh, now you're preaching to me like Superman always preached to Lex. Meaning you can't ever like
do you
say
think,
something bad about the Luthers.
Do you think that she was playing it up from the very beginning, or do you think that those emotions were real and then she came to her senses and was like, you know what, I can use this to my advantage now to save aliens, to help Supergirl, to be an awesome Luthor?
Probably a little of both. Like, I don't know if she knew.
Sure.
And she might have been taken aback, like, oh, could she really have done that?
Mm.
And she kind of lashes out at Kara to an extent. Also,
her name
she
is
knows...
Kara. I've let it slide a couple of times, but her name is Kara. Stop calling her Kara.
Also... It's just how I've seen
it. I know.
Kara's not good in the secret keeping department either.
So no, yeah.
She doesn't want to be like, I know, and I'm going to screw her over, but don't say anything, especially to your sister Alex.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Who we don't know is really the sister.
Right.
So of Supergirl. So, right. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I agree. Yeah.
Supergirl leaves. She just sits back with her wine, twirls it, and's like, yeah, she's a Luthor. She probably is the head of Cadmus.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that all, it all fits now. Yeah. good. I like it. It was good, but I liked the way that the episode kept you guessing because yeah. like it used
because you know our she's...
it used our preconceptions from yeah. being Luther's to like as I was like nah she's faking no maybe she's to nah she's faking yeah. no maybe oh, she took the missile like maybe she took the
yeah. issue thing I mean, yeah she's a Luther she's evil yeah. she'll be evil eventually
yeah.
All right, so they just
maybe,
did it a lot
maybe
sooner.
She won't be. Who's to say?
I'm praying against Luther's.
So, Alex mends Maggie's shoulder and their relationship. She just... You like what I did there?
Yeah.
yeah.
Stitched
just,
it up.
She just sewed up yeah. that... Sewed
although
it all up.
Although those stitches didn't look that great.
You know what? That's not Alex's main job. You know what? She's going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Again, yeah. nobody at the DEO is in charge of
stitching. No, somebody anymore. Actually is, but acts like, no, it's me. I need to do it. It's me. I have an opportunity here to be literal and figurative. Get out of my way. Like, this is perfect. You couldn't, this was set up. It's almost like somebody's writing my life. This, like, I could do this. It's okay. So, yeah.
I can see somebody doing that too.
Yep. All right. So, I like that Alex comes to terms with living her life as this new normal. Yes. You know,
and she gives her monologue of I thought I came out because of you, and it really wasn't. It was because this is who I am.
Yep.
And I love again. It seems like the best parts of these scenes are always the person who's not saying the stuff.
Yeah.
Like Maggie's facial cues is like that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah,
we're a couple now.
This is yeah, right. This is what you needed to realize.
Right.
This is what I, and that's what I was saying to Frank weeks ago. This is exactly the moment that like this is why Maggie was like, no, like you're not ready right. yet, and this and now it's here
fine.
And it's why
you were right.
Yes, I was. Take it.
Yeah.
All right. So. While they're having a moment,
yes,
Mon-El and Kara are having a moment,
right?
For reasons, and then they kiss. I really couldn't write anything down. I was too focused on the kiss, and I was like, "Well, stuff is happening. And the kissing."
I've heard it said from many scholars that if you want to know if he loves you so, it's in his kiss. That kiss was bad. I'm sorry.
Well,
bad.
He was sick.
Quote.
Well, you know, he actually was sick. We'll say he, right. So he actually was sick. So it wouldn't be great. And the way so that the it only, was played off, you know, like,
yeah.
at the end, like, oh no, what did I do?
The only time Kara gets to kiss any guy on the show is when they're mind controlled or dying
sick.
Of a virus.
That's so true. Yeah. No, it's not true. Her real life husband, they kissed.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I blocked out the episode and a half.
And then he left. So,
and then he left. Yeah. So maybe she's just a bad kisser.
They kissed and then she was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, immediately. So it's just not good practice. It's just, you know, it's bad luck.
Well, on around. Krypton they don't kiss on Krypton.
No, they know each other in the Martian way.
Yeah,
in the Kryptonian way.
They just touch palm to palm.
They just patty cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yeah. is that we do it on Krypton. We've evolved past kissing.
Holy
just,
Kryptonians kiss is palm to palm.
Yeah.
I've heard it read somewhere.
I believe that was Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want that book now.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
The story of the Daxamite and the Kryptonian. Yep. You're welcome.
Yep.
All right. So you pointed this out that there's this shot of Lena looking out L Corp's window as Lillian comes in, and it's really well framed. She's literally in the frame of the window.
She's really in the frame of the window.
Yeah.
And it just happened that you paused it right at the right second to kind of write stuff down. I like she looks scheming. She looks angry. She looks like a Luthor.
Her bone structure is excellent.
Oh, I love her bone structure.
So good.
Like,
so
I would
good.
Kill for that bone structure.
One might say that I have the bone structure of Lena Luthor.
Yes,
only
you.
The one. Yep, yep. Glad you caught on how I said that. Good. So I was listening to the conversation, but I did notice like a couple times in this episode, even leading to this moment, the music in this episode was so good, so good. It played with the emotions exactly as it needed to. Past couple of episodes, the music has really been spot on.
It's weird because there's always maybe two indicators of really good music. One,
you don't notice it at all.
You don't notice it at all. That was going to be my second one. Mm. One, you don't notice it at all. Two, you remember it instantly.
Yeah.
John Williams, you remember his scores.
Sure.
I couldn't tell you a discernible piece of music in this episode, but I could tell you I really liked the music because it never overshadowed the scenes.
That's true. I don't think it overshadowed, but I noticed it in a way that it's like you're giving me the emotion that you absolutely need to give me at this moment. It's not just underscore in the way that's like, here's this long note and right. Here's another long note. You know what? We're going to hold that for four beats because you know why? People are talking. We can't be obvious.
And to be fair, between the two of us, you have much more of a musical background than I do. So
This is true.
Yep.
Okay. So Lena gives Lillian the isotope. And I'm like, is it actually real? Is it a fake isotope? You were in the camp of fake isotope?
Or I was real? In the camp of real isotope because never trust a Luther.
See, I was in the camp of fake isotope. I'm like, nah, she's playing. But you never trust a Luther. But Luthers can't trust Luther, so you Luther can't trust a Luther. Yeah. But you're right. You can't. Lillian can't trust a Luther. Right. So you're still right, yeah. But right for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Much like
my life,
your life. That's not what I was going to say, but yeah, absolutely. So the virus is going to go off tonight. You raised a good point. Like if the virus was created by Kryptonians,
yes.
And then it was released, wouldn't it kill humans? I'm assuming that Cadmus adapted the virus.
That's what the isotope is for. The isotope is like, it's safe on humans now.
Yeah. You're 100% correct. Because they didn't have that isotope when it was released in the cantina.
Right.
So arguably that isotope is to kill humans. Or for widespread, chaos.
Make it last longer.
Yeah. Airborne. But either way.
Yeah.
Either way. I think humans are fine. So Jean is like, I'm going to go and die for my people, my new people, my adopted people, me, Jean Jones.
Right.
Like,
hang on, because I don't want to be a white Martian. So yeah, I'm going to die.
I might as well go. Right, exactly. I don't want to be this terrible monster. So right. I better go be a hero.
Gotta go kill myself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Heroically, though.
Yeah.
Lillian is smart, even though she's like, oh, you see my side of things. Well, prove it by using this rocket launcher.
Right.
Yeah, I liked that.
I did, because then it was like, oh, look, she's really evil. There's nothing to suspect about the isotope.
Prove yourself. Right, exactly. Yeah. Prove yourself with the rocket. But you were right in saying, well, Supergirl's there. Like, even if she is faking evil, like... Supergirl, you'll stop the rocket. Yeah. Which she didn't, though.
She kind of did. There was a backup plan.
No segue for this. I really liked Lena's coat in this scene.
It was a nice coat. I also liked the rock on the ground. It was a nice boulder.
Yeah. Good. How long? That's good. Okay, so we get... As suspected, we got a Hank versus Hank, a Jean versus Hank, a Martian Manhunter versus Cyborg Superman.
Yes. Oddly enough, before when Mon-El fought Hank, I was glad that no one had the idea, like, he's got the clear cyborg eye and the Phantom Mask.
Sure.
I was glad they didn't go like, ha, I was fighting you, and now I don't trust you.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, no, this was clearly somebody else.
Yeah, I like that. There's like no confusion.
Right.
Half your face is metal. You're faking your appearance, right.
I did throw out the obligatory joke of I can't tell them apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Supergirl has to pick up like a gun and like I don't know which one.
Yeah. No, shoot me. Supergirl, why are you even holding that gun? You have heat vision.
You don't believe in guns.
Yeah. So the rocket gets launched. Hank is a hypocrite. He's like, I'm going to destroy you, Martian, because you're a monster, says me, the man who is a cyborg.
Right. Well, he only hates aliens.
Who is a mass murderer. But it's like...
And that's how you know he's not a Kryptonian robot alien.
But it's crazy to be like, you're a monster because you're different from humans. Me, someone who's barely human anymore.
I hate to be the one to point this out to you, but evil people are generally hypocrites.
Also true. Very good. This is also true. Also, I guess a lot of people in our world today are cyborgs. If you have any piece of metal in you whatsoever, you're technically a cyborg.
or if you're just a robot sent here to kill John Connor.
Right, right. Well, if you have a metal plate in your head, you're a cyborg, you know? You have some kind of microchip somewhere. My cat's a cyborg. He's got a chip in his neck so I can find him when he gets lost. He's also got a laser for an eye. Look, it was an experiment that I thought would go awry, and it turns out it's pretty awesome. So it does. It's great when I have to give a presentation, and I'm like, cat, point at this thing on the way. Yeah. All right. And so Jean is like, you're right, I am a monster. And he transformed.
I'm a white Martian.
But he wasn't. He's like a greenish, whitish Martian.
Well, he wasn't completely transformed.
I know, but he looked super cool. That color was awesome.
I give you props for that, because it's a very dark scene. So making out that color is pretty
greenish white.
Difficult.
It's greenish white.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. He kind of looked like, do you remember like toothpaste where it would be like white on one side and green on the other, and then you mix it in?
It's kind of Crest.
Yeah. Well, do they do green anymore?
Yeah.
I thought they did blue. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not the important part.
Sidetrack.
Not the important part. The important part is that the Dutch girl chose me. No. Is that the line? Shoot, that's from Friends. I can't remember. I think that's the line. But I really liked the coloring. It was very cool. Lena made the virus inert, which makes her devilishly sly and good.
Devilishly evil.
She is devilishly evil, but not really. She's scheming for the greater good.
Right.
But actually not like, you know, Grindelwald the greater good, like the greater good. Hot Fuzz the greater good, I guess. Yeah. And so Cyborg Superman disappears after Supergirl knocks him out, saving the day. Right. We then go to our sponsor. I know you liked how I did that, huh? Yeah.
That was very smooth.
I know. It caught you off guard. InStockTrades.com for all of your looking at and then buying graphic novel purposes. You can also get 5% off if you buy your comics digitally using the code DCBS. They're a great sponsor. You can get books up to 50% off. So many books. This week's title comes to you from my brain. Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes, which was a book that ran in the early 2000s. And the trade paperback is called The Dominator War.
Mm-hmm.
It says, collecting Supergirl and Legion of Superheroes, numbers 26 through 30, the Dominator's plan to destroy Earth reaches fruition as the Robot Rebellion sweeps the planet. Sounds good. Looks good. Who's to say I chose this one because the Dominators are the alien race that are in the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So on all of them. So I thought this would be, if you were interested in a main Supergirl story, but also the Dominators to see what they were all about. This is a good one to check out. Written by Mark Waid, who I personally really like as a writer. So that's for you. Mon-El was actually introduced 3 issues prior to where this book picks up.
Yeah.
In Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes, and so I do believe he would also be in this story. So if you're interested in some Mon-El, you're interested in some Supergirl, and you want some Dominators, this is the book for you. Book was originally $14.99. You save 45% off and get it for $8.24.
That's like Black Friday every day.
Every day is Black Friday.
Yeah.
Every day. Except for all the days that don't end in Y. Okay. So that's that. InStockTrades.com DCBS service. Very good. Moving on to a ship in space. Perhaps it's the Dominators. Guess what? It's not. It's actually just connected to Supergirl.
It's just people with masks.
It's just people with masks. They are looking at the Well of their Well of Stars.
Close.
The Well of Stars, which is a
it's a well.
It is a well. You are so correct. You are so very correct.
And they're looking for Mon-El.
They're looking for
of Daxima. Mon-El of Daxima. In case there are any other Mon-Els on.
They're looking for Daxim, not Daxima. It's just Daxim.
Yeah.
God, why did I bring you on the show?
For humor.
For humor. That's right. You are funny to look at. So good. Aww. That was actually a pretty good joke. That was pretty mean and good.
I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. that was great. So they're the Wolf Stars and two fully masked. I assume both are female because they both had similar. Builds, mm-hmm. And the first one was female, fully masked, kind of a robotic sound, and they're like, we will find Mon-El of Daxam.
They're aliens, so who to say? They could just be unisex.
This is also true. I'm assuming they're not because it's television.
Yes.
I have no idea who these people are. Not enough information is given, I don't think. We could speculate, but honestly, there's a lot of, I think there's going to be more time to speculate. This is the last Supergirl episode until January. We have
so December. Speculate. Now.
So we have some time to speculate before Supergirl comes back. We don't want to throw all our eggs into one basket. So they're looking for Mon-El. Turns out that Eliza was like, hey, I am so good at my job that I also cured John of his white Martian stuff that I just found out about a day ago.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Kara did help. She gave her she gave her the mapping using the ancient Kryptonian technology of a USB drive.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, look, some technology is good no matter what planet you're from. It's just good.
Yeah.
Here's this tiny thing that holds a lot of information. Right. That's a good device.
Yeah. Unlike the mini disc there.
Lost in Space mini disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Dr. Smith. Oh, no. Dr. Smith. Oh, no.
Like, there's got to be some world in the DC universe that still uses mini
discs.
Yeah.
Well, that world will never be discovered because they're many, many,
many
decades past the past good technology. So, Jean is cured of all his white Martianness. You said you had something to add to this.
Yes, you were talking about like how quickly this kind of wraps up his storyline, and I know we've kind of had discussion before about my thoughts on Flash being very like, you know, we don't know who the villain is. And then, like, there's story beats in every season of Flash that are the same. Whereas it feels like Supergirl this season is, yes, Cadmus is the villain. You know Cadmus is the villain.
Well, who knows who the villain is coming back after the break
because
well, I mean,
aliens.
It's going to be these aliens in space.
Exactly. Like, they'll have a part.
Yeah.
Cadmus will have a part. But it's not so much of one plan. It's always like, we're going to try and do this. Nope, didn't work. Let's try and do this now.
Yeah.
And then other side stories kind of get knitted up much faster.
Yeah.
You know.
It actually, well, who knows if Cadmus is going to have a bigger part after because, I mean, probably will. But, I mean, like, Lillian, like, the police were there. So, like, obviously Lillian got arrested. And so, who knows where that's going to
go. Maybe Maxwell Lord will break her out.
Oh, snap.
I don't even know if his show's still on the air.
Maybe Jeremiah will break her out.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
The ghost of Jeremiah.
The ghost of Jeremiah Jenkins. I don't know who that
Danvers
is. No, I know. I don't know. I just wanted to alliterate. Damn it, Palmer. All right. Mon-El conveniently... I was going before. Jean looks really good. Last night. Hey, it's me, Jean Jones. CG Jean Jones. I look awesome. All right, I'll see you later.
I
look great when I smile in CG.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. He looks great. I love it every time he shows up. I get so excited every time I see the Martian Manhunter. Mon-El doesn't conveniently remember the kiss, and she's like, "You drooled." That's what I was obviously saying.
Yeah,
I was gonna say you drooled.
I wasn't
in my mouth when we were kissing. That's what I meant.
And poor Kara sitting there going, "This is it because I'm a bad kisser? Like I kissed two people, they don't remember. One leaves the show, and then his mother leaves the show,
and the other one becomes a cagey vigilante. You know, yeah, I gotta." And his mother leaves the show. Good, yeah.
She's gonna start taking this very to heart.
Yeah. But oh no, he definitely remembers. But he's smart. He knows how to.
Yeah.
He knows how to play the game. But I think he was like, "Ooh, that was a bad kiss. Maybe I shouldn't have done that." Or
like,
you know, that wasn't that it wasn't the right time. Or you know, like I regret my decision. Or maybe I'm seeing how she reacted. There's who knows what his reasoning is. But
I still don't like him.
You don't like him?
No. And mainly because I don't like that character. Like I don't like the frat boy character.
Sure.
As a character in any genre, I don't like it.
But he's the frat boy who's learning to love. He's becoming better.
Yeah, but I just don't care.
He's got a lot of charisma.
He does. this actor is doing the best with what he has.
Sure.
And just the fact that I don't like his character might mean he's doing a really good job.
Right. Yeah, you're not sure to be like, oh my God, I love frat boys. You know, like, this is exactly the person that I want to associate with.
He is trying to be better. We know. Yeah. And maybe one day I'll grow to like him.
Sure.
But today's not the day.
Today is not that day. This day we fight. Okay. Maggie visits Alex. She brings us some pizza. Alex is...
And beer. I'm starting to worry that Alex is an alcoholic.
Alex is...
Because at the beginning of the scene, she is drinking whiskey. As soon as Maggie comes in...
Switches to beer. That's not good for the system. Yeah.
No, liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
Oh, okay.
But she still had some liquor in her glass. So now she's essentially double fisting.
I assume that she's just not going to finish that whiskey. Because she's more important about... She has more important things to worry about.
Yeah, like Maggie.
Okay. Maggie comes forward with how she feels about the whole situation, which she kind of tried to tell Alex before.
Right.
But, like, Alex wasn't even in the right headspace to listen to her.
She'd just been rejected by someone that she felt was a reason to change her entire life.
Right, but and that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody at the same time. And so, but I like the way that Maggie kind of comes forward and she's like, look, this is how it is. I was wrong the way this is, but I think that it was, like, it's still good that, you know, that you were able to come to this revelation on your own. And I was like, you should just kiss the girl you want to kiss.
La, 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 la.
My, oh, my. Look at the girls too shy, go on and kiss Alex. Whoa, whoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want the internet to do its magic, and I want them to match up Alex and Maggie scenes with this song.
She don't got a lot to say. Because
every time they're on, that's the song that's in my head.
About her. Yeah, very good. I wasn't listening to you at all.
I know you weren't.
I was trying to remember the words of the song.
I kept talking because it was illustrating my point.
Well, I was going to try to change the lyrics to as I usually do, but the lyrics fit so perfectly.
They do.
Yeah, except that she does have a lot to say.
Oh, they always have a lot to say, those two.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. You know, this episode... kiss and I jumped out of my seat clapping.
You did, and I was like, Palmer, sit down, you're blocking my view. Yeah. I like how... I mean, I know Supergirl's going off to the crossover and all that, but I like how well resolved this episode was.
It was a good way to tie it. First half of the season.
Right, and she'll go back at the end of the crossover, and like that'll be... But like I feel very comfortable... waiting until January, you know, excited to see what's going to bring forward that little nugget with the aliens and space and stuff. I'm very curious about that. But I'm like, I'm really satisfied with how these characters landed.
I would really love like her coming back from the crossover and like a week having passed and like Maggie and Alex are together like on the couch and she has no idea. Wynn is off with some girl. I just want so much to change when she comes back, and it won't happen, but it would just be hilarious. Because I always like that, like, what the... Life goes on without me? I'm the main character.
You are the main character.
I am.
Of your own story.
And this podcast. For today.
And this podcast. You are the main character of this podcast. I'll give you that. Okay. So finally, the dimensional rift opens up.
Yep.
Cisco and Barry come through in a flash. They're like, wow, this is going to be super awkward if this is not the right place. Like, somebody's going to be very confused.
Yeah.
Kara comes in. She's like, oh, Barry, I knew it was you. This is great. Give me a hug.
Right. It's also good that she wasn't home when this happened.
Yes, that is true. That is true. She just comes home with some groceries, you know,
just like two men and just mysteriously just in her.
Hey, it's us, the most non-threatening people in
actually,
CW
she doesn't
history.
Know Cisco, so
doesn't matter though. But she is innately trusting, and Barry's there.
Right.
So that guy who brought her ice cream that one time at super speed, you know,
like for all she knows, Barry could be like, and this is my alternate Earth girlfriend's house.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and then she comes in like, hey, honey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So true. So awkward. But I love it. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, I helped you that one time, even though you also helped me get back to my Earth. But still, I helped you. Remember.
I helped you. Remember. Yeah, remember. I got you ice cream.
Yeah, remember. I helped you. We stopped the team up. Don't forget.
Yep.
Silver Banshee, you know, it was good. It was a good thing. Okay, so all that was good. And she's like, and without hesitation, she's like, cool. Who are we fighting? Yeah, what are we up against?
What are we doing?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm looking forward to those episodes so much. I've been waiting for this. So I might be more excited about this than I am like to see like Justice League, the movie, because I have like deep emotional, like I care deeply about these characters that they've like across all these shows that they've created. I've spent more time with them.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I'm just really excited to see like Supergirl, like, in action with the Flash, with Arrow, with the Atom, you know, with Firestorm. It's just, I'm very excited. It's going to be fun. So, any final thoughts on this episode?
Great episode. Loved it. Yeah. Loved everything about it.
I did, too. All right, great. So, before we talk about the trailer for the crossover, I guess, and then a bit of anything spoilery, you can find us at TV Supergirl on Twitter. You can find us at SupergirlTVTalk.com, and you can email us at SupergirlTalk. You can email us. Whoa, that was, I was so close to, was so close to words. You can email us at SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com. That's where you can find us. Please send us your questions, your comments, your concerns. You can also rate and review us on iTunes. We've been getting a very good and healthy number of ratings and reviews. Please keep that coming. It is so very important for us to move up in the charts. And by it's important, I mean, it's important to Frank and I, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you know what? Because I'm on, I feel like, please, people, we need at least 7 more reviews between their next podcast so I can show them that I'm worthwhile.
Yeah, because every time Palmer comes on, I'm like, oh no, what is this going to do to our listenership?
We all do. Like, oh, we all just hang our heads.
Ah, oh, Frank, why are you? Why do you have lives? Why do you have so many lives? All right. And so, but I'm glad that you said that. So you can rate and review us on iTunes, 4 or 5 stars. Greatly appreciated. I have some new reviews here for us. I have from Daoud F. Says, 5 stars, Palmer is the coolest.
Well, this is true.
So I finally made it to the reviews
for
the last time you were on.
Right.
And it says, a jiffy is a unit of measurement is a thing, which I love. That was one of the best lines from that episode. It's so good. Phantom of the DEO, which is a great username.
Yes.
Phantom of the DEO.
Especially since John Jones started,
wearing the Phantom mask. So good. So good. 5 stars. Simply the best. Better than all the rest. Yeah, there was rhyming in there, too.
There was. And a song lyric.
I listen to many podcasts each week, but this is hands down the one I most look forward to each week. Frank's love and knowledge of all things Superman shines through, along with Tim's great hair and insight make the banter back and forth as normal as listening to friends. Each week they give us such great observations about the episode, it makes me rewatch the episodes with new eyes. Just when you think it can't get better, every so often Palmer stops by with his movie star style, looks, and wit. They are like the Beatles of podcasting, hashtag Team Algae.
Aw, thank you, Mom.
Thank you. very good. And then I have great podcast 5 stars from Rukia.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when they go on these funny tangents, like the bit about Kara's holograph mom, quote, make your own sandwich. I cannot grasp anything for I am a hologram, quote, funny stuff.
I was really waiting for that review to say, like, I really love it when Tim randomly bursts out into song, because I kind of gave you a hard time for that.
Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. One of our most recent reviews that I'm looking at right now actually does say that, and I almost read it tonight just to shove it in your face. But I'll wait for a few episodes from now. You did notice that I did not sing a lot this week.
Because you knew I was not gonna take it.
I'm not gonna take it. Damn it. Yeah, look, I can play this game all day. This is how I grew up. My mom does this. My sister does this. This is how I work. I can't function without doing it. It's It's like that game in Whose Line Is It Anyway, where, yeah, you know, like, they just have to, like, say
turn
song
everything
quote
into a song.
That's just what, yeah, it's what I do. And so thank you all for those reviews. Rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play, and Overcast and Satchel and all other places that podcasts can be
heard.
Heard.
Yeah.
I was going to say found, but heard, well, yeah, is heard is also good. If you need something to rate and review us this time, you can say Palmer's mustache is excellent.
I shaved it just for the show.
Okay, I know you were watching The Great Gatsby the other day. Did you shave it and in your beard into a mustache? Because A, it's the, you know, it's the end of November, so, right, you know, mustache November. Or did you want to look like Tom Buchanan, and so you have a mustache? You're like, I want to look like I live in the 20s, so,
well,
I have a,
know,
mustache.
To be fair, I shaved it off. It was actually the day before I watched Great Gatsby, so it kind of worked out.
Put you in a mood.
I just got really lazy. Like, I got to this point, and I'm like, I want to see what the reaction is with this.
Hmm.
It hasn't been good.
Yeah, because...
But you know what?
Because you got a mustache,
that,
man.
That makes me want it even more.
Nah, I know. It's... God. Palmer, that's not great. Society says no. And you're, yeah, like, well, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To prove society, yep, a lesson for some...
To heck with
reasons.
You, society.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, you know what? I love it.
Thank you.
Damn it.
Now I'm just going to shave it off.
Yeah, I know.
Right in front of you.
No! All right. So, the trailer was only for the crossover, so,
correct,
we could talk about...
Like, we have no idea what's coming up after the break.
No, yeah, I tend not to look at spoilers for that,
which is
that far in advance. I want to be surprised on the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes I learn things, sometimes,
yeah,
you
sometimes
know,
an idiot texts you with, like, the ending of Flash.
Yep, yeah, you know, yeah, not an idiot that's standing across from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, stop. Don't deviate from your schedule next
week. Yeah, all right. But, yeah, I don't know what's coming in the sometimes it's easy to guess,
yeah,
because when you're a comic fan you're like, oh, well, it's probably this,
right,
you know, or it's probably this,
it
you know,
probably once, has something to do with those,
yeah,
aliens.
And we're recording on the night of the show, which again, like, there's I always like, I like the 24-hour gestation period where I'm like,
yeah,
oh, I can think about stuff. So who knows what I'll think about for this, like, for those aliens with Mon-El,
yeah,
afterwards. I'll probably like, oh, that's probably this thing,
yeah,
or maybe it's this thing, whatever. So, all that, and then the crossover was a different commercial trailer than it was a new one that I had seen. The Dominators,
yes,
are,
yeah,
mind control. It looks like some mind control stuff. It looks like Barry and Flash are going to be working together while everybody else kind of teams up against them at one point under mind control. I'm really excited. I think it looks so much fun.
It looks good, and you know what? I've never read the source material.
You've never read Invasion?
I've never read Invasion, but if you want to read a dictionary, read a Keith Geffen book.
Oh, God, yes.
Although I've heard this one's a little bit easier to get through. I wanted to read it. I didn't have time. I have no idea what this entire story's about.
And I don't think it's going to... I don't think the story is really adapted from Invasion. They're using those aliens. But, I mean,
yeah,
like, they're... I mean, because they've got Legends coming in from, like,
yeah,
a different time. And Supergirl coming in from a different universe. And so it's a lot of, like...
And even then, like, they've backed away from using the word Invasion. Like, I don't know if they were joking initially when they were like, the name of the Flash episode with the crossover? Invasion.
Yeah.
The name of the Green Arrow one? Invasion. You want to take a guess at the other two? That's right. It was an Invasion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Heroes versus Aliens reminds me of Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes.
Which is not a great
thing to associate
yourself with.
But, I mean, Jonah Hex might show up.
Yeah, but you know what? It also is just, it is Heroes versus Aliens.
Yeah.
Like, it's not wrong. And it's fine. It's fine. I don't care what they call it. I'm super
jazzed.
Yeah,
it looks
to
good.
See the crossover and for them to be in the Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely the Hall of Justice.
Yes, I know. It's the Hall of Justice.
Yes.
You know, who built it? Where did it come from?
The president built it. I don't know.
Does, like, the Legends of Tomorrow team just be like, hey, I want to take you to this really cool place at the end of the show?
I don't know.
Like, they take him to the future and be like, this is where we all hang out.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care. Could be an airline hangar that looks like the Hall of Justice.
And we get more heroes.
It's literally just a hallway in a house.
It really is.
They're all crammed in there. They're like, can I get into the kitchen? No, this is our hallway.
Yeah.
We can only be in the Hall of Justice.
Right.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, the one thing that this trailer has shown me is that it'll have more people fighting than Captain America Civil War. Because that only had like 4.
That's not true.
Yeah, it was like six.
That's also not true. Had like six on each team.
It was like five on each. It was a Red Rover team.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah.
But like on the hero side, you have five just from the Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, and then you have Flash and Arrow and right. Speedy.
And Supergirl.
And Supergirl.
And you'll probably have Jesse Quick, maybe?
No, I don't think so. No, I think the people...
Kid Flash?
No, I think the people that you see... I think the people that you see in the... The people in the trailer, yeah. Those are the heroes of the show. And I was thinking about that, because there are other people in these shows right, that could Diggle. Fight. Right, Diggle's in there, yeah, in the lineup. But I think they plan on doing a crossover every season of these shows, like next, you
four
know.
Four-episode crossover.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the next one's another four one. I think they want to get through, you know, this one and see what if it works or not. You know, they got to hold some of their cards back, you know, for later because, you know, you got to build from somewhere. Because there's, like, talk about, like, all right, so they're going after aliens. Yeah. That's foreign ground for the Flash and for Arrow and for Legends.
Yes, it's mainly a
Supergirl. But it's not foreign ground for Supergirl, the Martian Manhunter, or the DEO.
Right.
So why not bring Alex and Jean with Kara? And so that's,
well, then
like...
Well, who'd be protecting Earth?
The other Superman.
Does Flash know about Superman?
No, but that's not. But that's not what I'm saying. Bring Superman. I'm saying you can bring Jean and because right, no, no, that's what they're doing. Aliens, but like you got to hold some of your cards back.
Yeah.
For another crossover, because like then like oh this is so cool, Supergirl's with all of them, and then the next time people are like Jean, the Martian Manhunter standing next to the Flash. This is amazing. You know you gotta. You gotta build to stuff.
They're just gonna start calling themselves the Legion.
No, you can't do that because Legion of Doom is showing up on Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, they'll call themselves the Legion of Superheroes. Even though not one of them is actually in the Legion, except Mon-El.
Mon-El and Supergirl. Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes.
Well, yeah.
I guess she stands apart by the
title of that. Yeah, it's just like Superman and the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, but they're part of it. They get a ring, and you know, it's close enough. So anyway,
even though they don't need to use it to fly.
No, I'm going to wrap this up because that's probably a good idea. That's a good idea? Yeah, okay. So until next time, up, up, and away.